This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
A company called Cognition has just released what they are dubbing as the first AI software engineer. Now, this is very controversial. There's people with all sorts of opinions on the podcast today. I'm going to be breaking down what people on Hacker News are saying about this, what people on X are saying about this, showing you a little bit about their demo, showing you some of their benchmarks, which is very fascinating, and talking about the overall impact that I think we're going to start seeing in software because of these kind of software engineer tools. Is this hype or is this, you know, actual reality, the future of software design? So let's get into it. The first thing I wanted to do was actually look at their kind of big announcement they made in regards to this. So they have a blog post where essentially they have a little video that we can go over some of the things. The big thing I wanted to show here was just their benchmark. So they said, we evaluated Devin on SWE Bench, a challenging benchmark that assists agents to solve real-world GitHub issues found in open source projects like Django. Okay, so what I want to bring up here is this is one benchmark. There are, you know, tons of benchmarks out there that people typically compare, contrast. They brought up one benchmark, which evidently showed them, right? They were 13.8% for real-world software engineering performance. And, you know, that's like Claude 2 is at like almost 5%. Llama was at like 4%. And then you have GPT-4 over at 1.7%, GPT-3 at 0.5. So like, obviously it looks like they're absolutely crushing it. Now, what I'll bring up is this is just one benchmark. They happen to be do very well. The criticism I've seen on this specific benchmark in particular is that a lot of people are like, they literally trained or essentially they gave their model like specifically the information to just answer the questions in this benchmark. And then they were surprised that it did well. I'm not sure if that's true. That's some criticism I've heard. But overall, I do want to go over the product. This is very interesting. And I wanted to dive into a little bit about what is going on with their big announcement that they made over on YouTube, what they're actually saying about this, and, you know, kind of how this is playing out over there. So I'll just show you a little bit of the video.
Hey, I'm Scott from Cognition AI. And today I'm really excited to introduce you to Devin, the first AI software engineer. Let me show you an example of Devin in action. I'm gonna ask Devin to benchmark the performance of Llama on a couple of different API providers.
Okay, so right off the bat here, I think this is really interesting, and they're able to just essentially like prompt like a software engineer, you're gonna be able to type in here. Now, what you'll notice is there are multiple panels, right? So they have the panel where you're actually asking it the questions. This is kind of what you're familiar with like ChatGPT. And then over here, you're gonna actually start seeing the some of the code generation and some of that kind of stuff.
From now on, Devin is in the driver's seat. First, Devin makes a step-by-step plan of how to tackle the problem. After that, it builds the whole project using all the same tools that a human software engineer would use.
Okay, so now you get into like beyond just the ChatGPT. Now we got like three panels going in here. This is very interesting. I do like the process it goes through where it's like you ask it to do something and it makes like the step process. This is, to be honest, so far everything you would imagine you'd be able to do with ChatGPT, GPT-4, if you really knew what you were doing, where you could essentially ask it like, hey, you know, I pretend you're a software engineer and you need to help solve this problem, come up with a list of, you know, steps that we're going to take to solve it, yada yada, and then follow through on the list. Like, so to me, so far it seems kind of like a clever prompt, but let's keep going.
Devin has its own command line, its own code editor, and even its own browser. In this case, Devin decides to use the browser to pull up API documentation so that it can read up and learn how to plug into each of these APIs. Here, Devin runs into an unexpected error.
Yeah, and if I'm being honest, from, you know, I'm no developer, but what my CTO over AI Box tells me that, you know, these AI models are notoriously bad at is, and as far as kind of the error that it pulled up, was like, very often they will reference libraries or projects or a backend that doesn't exist because they're essentially replicating what code in the real world looks like, code that they were trained on GitHub from, and all of code, right, is referencing other libraries, other places. And so it's like, here's code that does what you're asking for, but like it's you know, so it can solve maybe like one element of the code, but it's not like building out your backend or like finding all your libraries or even finding real libraries that exist all the time. So there will definitely be a ton of errors. And so when people are like, oh my gosh, like these tools are completely replacing engineers, they're completely replacing like developers, this is a major area that is not solved whatsoever. So anyways, I'm interested to see kind of where they take that.
Devin actually decides to add a debugging print statement, reruns the code with the debugging print statement, and then uses the error in the logs to figure out how to fix the bug. Finally, Devin decides to build and deploy a website with full styling as the visualization. You can see the website here.
So, you know, I mean, it's obviously a very, very basic website. You know, it says styling, and I think what they mean by styling is like there are the colors red, blue, and yellow on the website. And some borders around there. Like, in no means is this website going to win any sort of awards. It's a very basic table, essentially. But like, yeah, I mean, it did something. It wasn't, I don't know how it could get much worse, but I mean, okay, there is some styling there, so I'll give them some points. There's multiple colors on the screen we're looking at.
All of this is possible today because of the advancements that we've made in both reasoning and long-term planning. It's a really hard problem, and we've only just started, but we're super excited about the progress that we've made so far. In the meantime, if you'd like to try out Devin on your own real-world task.
Okay, amazing. Then, of course, they plug their platform. So I think this is fascinating. I wanted to talk about, you know, what people are actually saying about this. So the first thing is over on X, McKay Wrigley, he reviews a ton of AI software. He says, I'm blown away by Devin. Watch me use it for 27 minutes. It's insane. The era of AI agents has begun. Then I kind of scrubbed through his video for 27 minutes. Like, he's doing a deep dive using this tool, you know, opening GitHub, putting code in, doing all sorts of crazy stuff, and he's able to do some impressive things with it. So this is leaving me thinking this is not just purely hype. There is also some like serious use cases here. I will say, going through the comment section on his, it feels very much like he kind of has an audience that's like very hyped up about AI, probably like my audience, to be honest. But I will say, like, I've seen other threads talking about Devin that are a lot more skeptical of it. So anyways, I think this is interesting. One comment that I thought was funny, someone said, tell Devin to build an open source Devin. Then someone said, please ask Devin to fix the Twitter video compression. You know, I mean, anyways, people are saying, like, if this thing was actually, like, useful, then it would be able to just, you know, build itself and build itself over and over again, and the company would just use it to create infinite software for free, and then they wouldn't really need it. Okay, so obviously this thing isn't a completely automated software developer. It's just a very useful software enhancement tool. I'm not a developer, so I wouldn't even know what to ask it for, and I think that's kind of the secret with a lot of these AI tools and models. It's like, if you don't actually know the skill to begin with, if you don't have a base understanding of the skill, there's no way that it's going to completely, you know, be able to do everything for you, because I don't know, you know, even what types of software or even what types of libraries or even what languages to use for certain projects, where an actual skilled developer will know that. And so this is going to more just expedite and, you know, make them a lot more efficient, which is, I think, kind of what we're seeing with a lot of these AI tools. Now, I did want to read you the top comment on Hacker News about this. Hacker News, of course, you can imagine a lot of developers there, heavily biased. These are alumni from, you know, there's a lot of people from Y Combinator that kind of host this. And what I will say about Hacker News is I think it's a lot more skeptical about this than maybe some of the hype that you'll be seeing on X. So I wanted to bring some healthy skepticism into the conversation and read you what they're saying there. So someone, Tell Us X, says, as a developer but also product person, I keep trying to use AI to code for me. I keep failing because of context length, because of crap output from the model, because of a lack of any kind of architecture, et cetera, et cetera. I'm probably dumb because I just can't get it to do anything remotely useful. more than help me with LeetCode. Just yesterday, I tried to feed it a simple HTML page to extract a selector. I tried with GPT-4 Turbo, I tried with Claude, I tried with Grok, I tried with a local Llama 2 model with 128K context window. None of them worked. This is a task that, while annoying, I do in about 10 seconds. Sure, I'm open to the possibility in the next 2 to 3 days, up to a couple of years, I'll no longer do manual coding, but honestly, after so much hype, I'm starting to grow a bit irritated with the hype. Just give me a product that works as advertised and I'll throw money your way, because I have a lot more ideas than I have code throughput. Okay, so breaking this down, I think that there's a lot of really good points being made here, but I will say I don't think this is the whole story. So one thing that I think is quite accurate is the fact that he said, like, give me a product that works as advertised and I'll throw money your way because I have a lot more ideas than throughput. This is a lot of people. If these tools really could completely automate stuff, I think that there would be a lot more tools being used for this specifically. So I do think this is an important kind of aspect to talk. So admittedly, these products are not perfect, but what I will say is I know a ton of developers, my CTO at AIBox and also SelfPause, that use GPT-4 to constantly help them generate code ideas. This thing is not perfect, and obviously this is apparently even better than that, but I think that this is much better than perhaps this person is giving them credit for when they're saying that they haven't been able to get anything out of it. Now, definitely not perfect, definitely not gonna be able to write all code for you, but I think this has come very far, and tools like this actually, I think, are pushing the needle and gonna make a big impact, even if it's just clever prompt engineering to help this thing perform better, and maybe a few custom in-house things, piggybacking off of GPT-4. Like, even if that was the solution, I think there's a lot that can be done to really enhance what developers are currently doing to improve their tool set. And from what I've been hearing from people actively building software that's quality software, these are actually like really, really expediting the process and automating a lot of what developers are doing, helping them to do more. Now, if you want it to be perfect, you're gonna continue to complain because it will not be perfect. But if you want it to get you maybe 80 or 90% there, you debug it, you fix it, you tweak it, I think these tools are gonna do an incredible job and expedite this work to a very high level that is gonna make a lot of people very happy. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you're interested in checking this out, you can go and find it over on their website, cognition-labs.com. I'm excited and I'll keep you up to date on how this rolls out, what people are saying about it, and how innovative this truly is as we see, people actually test this in the real world.